Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Hard-edged, hard-nosed, hard to beat.
Where are you coming from in this one?
Your 100% essential download.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
You let this get out of control.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Hi there, everybody, and thanks for downloading Outspoken, the podcast that brings you the very best of our daily Talk Sport show. In this, our final show in Qatar, we'll reflect on Belgium and Germany crashing out the World Cup, Japan turning into the neutrals' favourite, and we'll look ahead to Sunday as England look to overcome Senegal.
Belgium in Group F crashed out, Martin, as we know, after a goalless draw with Croatia. Roberto Martinez, for him, we know Roberto well, I've known him for many, many years. He bowed out after 6 years in charge. And he said to everybody it was farewell straight after Belgium exited the tournament.
My situation is very clear. That was the end, whatever would happen. If we were being world champions, we would have been out in the group phase. This is the end of the time, and it's got nothing to do with being eliminated at this stage. I always work in a long term. I believe that the long term projects need to be long term and they need to be set in advance. As you can imagine, since 2018, I had many opportunities to leave, to take jobs at club level, and I always wanted to be loyal. I always wanted to finish the job, and now I don't resign. This is the end of my contract. So the moment that you go to a major tournament in these conditions, that was always the plan.
Well, it's a bit of a sad end for Martin, as you could hear it in the tone of his voice. Martin, two questions to you. Where does he land next? And why is it that golden generations always seem to fall short?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I watched a bit of that game this morning in preparation for today's show. Lukaku had, you know, some really good chances, Jim, to finish that off. But it was Croatia or another team, really. Are they coming to the end of what they've... You know, they were the finest in the last World Cup. They didn't move the ball nearly quick enough in this tournament. There's obviously in-house bickering with the players. But Lukaku had opportunities to finish it. Jimmy should have come on earlier in the second game. He didn't look like he was match fit. He came on at half-time. And I think it's right and proper that the manager goes now because it is the end of an era. But he will end up in a top job somewhere. I'm not sure it's going to be in the Premier League. I really don't know where he'll turn up.
Has he earned the right to end up in the top job?
I think so. I think he's respected. I think tactically he's been very good in the past, although against Canada in the first game, they got outwitted by the way that they played, and Canada kept changing their system thereafter, which they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
They complicated things, but they certainly bamboozled Belgium in that first game. They've not had... I mean, they're looking at the players there. You look at Havertz and... their top pair, Hazard... Nothing like the player. And really, why should we have expected him to have been? It's not a light switch you can flick on and off.
So
the quality wasn't there. Lukaku not fit enough. Too much on De Bruyne. An ageing back three. And it really is the end of an era for that group.
And
I don't see them being successful, Jim, again for a little while.
Out they go. Simon, does Martinez land in a top job?
Debatable. I mean, he has, if you look at it on the body of work, had a remarkable win record at Belgium. He's got a 70% win record, and if you look at the pantheon of international managers, he is above most of their win records. But the problem is not in this tournament, but in previous tournaments, he's laid down a marker of being unsuccessful and wasted opportunities. And you have to look at it and say whether the back four was aging now. They, you know, in previous tournaments, they weren't. And you don't just look at Eden Hazard. You look at Kevin De Bruyne. You look at the absolute quality that they've had in that side. And you have to say, despite having had this quite remarkable win record of 70%, he has underachieved with this level of player available to him. So will he come out with reputations intact? I think he will have to be diminished. I was surprised he got the job in the first place. And what he's done with the job, I don't think has been remarkable in terms of outcomes, because he hasn't won anything. He hasn't achieved potentially. Now, of course, you have to look then and say, what a remarkable country Belgium is for producing this level of player. We talk about golden generations. With due respect to some of the players they've got in their midst, some of our players couldn't light a candle, some of theirs.
Okay, fair enough. They're regarded, though, as a golden generation. Is he a golden generation? Is he a best-in-class manager?
Clearly not, because if you've got this embarrassment of riches on the pitch, you need to have that complemented by a manager that can either get them across the line or affect outcomes far more meaningfully than he has done. And so with that in mind, I think he goes, I think he'll be disappointed. Now, he talks about long-term projects. You were given a long-term project. You've had a reasonable amount of time. No one can suggest that this was a fickle situation, that this contract was, this competition, win, lose or draw, was going to be his departure. You have to look back over the body of work and say, well, your school report would say probably could have done better.
Yeah, but you think, Martin, the writing's on the wall when you hear stories about infighting within the squad, and we heard plenty of that.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't help. I just think if you go back to the pitch, and I watched the first game against Canada, I was almost astonished. 22 opportunities they had in that game, and you looked at it, and I had Belgium to go very well in this tournament, go at least to a semi-final. And you clearly it was obvious that wasn't going to happen. Morocco did really well. Difficult team to play against, Jim. They could do well. Amrabat sits in front of the back four.
Yeah.
They've got Ziyech on the right side, Boufal on the left.
Yeah, they're talking about their chances this morning in our hotel. They fancy themselves.
They've got a really nice balance.
Yeah.
I just wondered whether in the end, he always wanted to play Martinez a back three. He never really deviated from that. Always the back three, the same system. I think everybody's worked them out. And I think Croatia really weren't in any real trouble in their game the other night. They come down to that game, two very good teams, Jim, having to play, because of what Morocco have done in that group, they've just turned it on its head.
Welcome to the Coliseum of Confrontation. Outspoken with White and Jordan.
This has been a World Cup thus far full of crazy upsets, not least Japan. All credit to them, ending up topping Group E. They've made all the headlines today, and in the process beat Spain last night, and in turn dumped the Germans out of the tournament. There were some German fans in our hotel this morning trying to put something of a brave face on it, but they are very, very unhappy and frustrated to be heading home at this stage. There was so much attention focused, Martin, on that Japan goal and that call. Did the ball cross the line? Did it not cross the line? Was it in? Was it out? Should the goal have stood? Should it not? Now, Mike Dean at breakfast this morning, a former referee, was saying to me, maybe later today, FIFA will, he felt, will publish a picture which will show definitively that the ball was still in play and that the goal should have stood and did stand. And that's what it did for the Germans. But Martin, why in 2022 do we not have goal line technology all the way around the pitch? We see state-of-the-art technology here. Should a team's World Cup fate, albeit the Germans, and there wasn't much sympathy for them today, should their fate be decided by the eye of one VAR official? Because sources tell us the decision itself came down to the judgment of the VAR official and his assistants, who advised the referee, Victor Gomez, let the goal stand.
Jim, when I was watching that live, I thought the ball had gone out. I saw slightly different pictures. I don't know if everybody saw that in the same place. We're all watching it.
We were the same as you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was as if somebody had, I'm not saying tampered with the pictures, but suddenly they brought these new pictures to us where they were showing that the ball hadn't gone out. And I know you look at it, so much of the ball looks like it's out. I know they're the rules. I don't know if we have to have technology all around the pitch now. Where's it going to end? You know, luckily the ball was on the deck. You know, it wasn't bouncing, was it?
It was
no,
on the deck.
Martin, if technology was all around the pitch, we wouldn't be asking this question this morning. There'd be no question to be asked.
Well, maybe perhaps we do it in a World Cup, but I don't think we can bring it everywhere, Jim, to Frizz. Probably eventually we'll see it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I was playing against Japan there, I would have thought to myself, that ball's definitely gone out. I've seen it with my own eyes. For years, I've judged it on that. Now, maybe in the game of rugby, they're slightly different, isn't it? If the ball touches the line, then it's out of play. But for us, it's the whole circumference of the ball. So it becomes very technical and very difficult to actually work it out if it's actually happened.
Do you think somebody tampered with the pictures? Are you serious about that?
No, my eyes, the pictures tell a different story now to the one I saw at the time. The pictures I saw in the real action was, and they showed a replay of it, the ball was out and it was clearly out. And all of a sudden they brought new pictures to us for VAR purposes and the ball is now just touching the line. They found it remarkable.
I mean, everybody's putting their own spin on this over here, Simon. Graham Souness, Gary Neville last night in the telly were saying same kind of thing. Not quite. It's a conspiracy theory going on here, but not far off it.
Well, nobody mentioned, I've not heard a dialogue about VAR needing to have a full circumference of the pitch. And if that was wanted and required, then perhaps it should be a concept that was floated before the tournament started. Look, the Germans didn't get knocked out of this World Cup because of that particular decision. That's the ultimate part of the equation.
But exactly.
They got knocked out because they're not a very good side. And they got beat by the Japanese. They weren't particularly great against the Spanish. And they nearly got their heads handed to them by Costa Rica last night. I take no pleasure in the idea that we, you know, the Germans get paid back for their outlook and attitudes in life sometimes, or they wanted to come here and tell everyone they were silenced. Now they've been silenced properly by being ejected from the tournament by their own failure to achieve. I think you can make a case for a query and a question and evaluation about the decision that was made. But if we're going to inflate that and conflate it into a situation where the Germans can feel very hard done by, I'm not going to be in that camp. I'm not going to be in this. And I'm also going to look at it and say, whatever we, again, it goes back to like when we pick teams, or whoever we don't have in the team is the reasons why teams aren't successful. Whatever piece of technology we don't have now is the reasons why decisions are ultimately up for grabs and up for query.
So do you rubbish any talk of tampering of pictures?
Yeah, of course so.
Or a conspiracy theory of any sort?
I mean,
what's going on out here behind the scenes? Nothing is.
Yeah, no, I think that may well play into a narrative that people want to advance. I think if you listen to the German press, I think they themselves are actually more focused on the fact that their team were rank poor.
Yeah. Yeah. But when we were watching that, Jim, live, and most people watching it at home, I was pretty convinced that ball had gone out of play. And we saw a replay, and okay, VAR, maybe they've got slightly different cameras and they can stop the picture, so we have to respect that decision. Mm. But when watching it live, to all intents and purposes, that ball was out of play.
Let's push this back then. Why would they want to not find an outcome? I mean, we often accuse VAR of being a goal disallowing system. It starts from the default situation of finding a methodology to rule out a goal. Are you disappearing into some sort of ideology that the Germans have had some conspiracy theory pushed against them by the Qatari regulators of the VAR system to find some retribution for the fact that they had the audacity to question what's going on?
Do we need to look
here
at the rule itself when the ball is actually out of play? If the base of the ball
is different.
I know it's a circumference, but when the bottom of the ball is clearly out and there's daylight between the touchline, for me, that looks exact, Jim. I know the rules are different.
From the angles you've seen so far.
Every time we take a corner with this quadrant, we've got this problem where the players are trying to push it, we have to keep stopping.
Exactly.
And it's like on the same issue, it's like, well, look, just make it that the ball has to be on the line.
So we've got two referees, Peter Walton, who's described the dynamics of it, and you've also got Mike Dean. Mm. And, you know, whatever you do or don't think of Mike Dean, he's a referee with repute. So with that in mind, you've got two referees that have pretty much said there is a case for that ball being considered to be in play.
Exactly.
But we know better.
And what do the Germans think themselves? German broadcaster for Magenta TV, Thomas Wagner, joins us live on the show. Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. What is your reaction to the fact that your nation went out last night?
Hello. Nice to hear you. Yes, there's one word for me. It's ridiculous what we Germans played in the last three tournaments. The appearance of Germany is embarrassing, and no stone should be left unturned. Oliver Bierhoff was the master builder of success with the World Cup in Brazil. But now the seclusion in the north, the isolation and the discussions, whole tournament about the one love tie, were counterproductive, in my opinion. And we have problems with our stars. The captain, Manuel Neuer, it is his third tournament as captain. And the third tournament we set in the sand. Thomas Müller is a shadow of himself. And Kimmich just the little boss and huge only on the bench.
Wow. So, I mean, even covering a World Cup and a member of the German media yourself, Thomas, do you feel embarrassed by what you saw?
Yes. Yesterday, for example, against a limited Costa Rica squad, we started well. We score a 1-0. And in my opinion, if you go to the halftime with 3 or 4 goals, you put the pressure on Spain you put the pressure on Costa Rica. And in this case, I never thought that Spain will lose against Japan.
Exactly. Did you think it would be either you or Spain who'd end up topping your group?
Before the game, I talked to Luis Enrique and he said, if we want to be the champion, we have to beat Brazil in quarterfinal or in the final, when the constellation is like it is, and you see, you get Morocco in the next stage, I believe the players started to think, oh, second place, we go through Morocco and Portugal, it's much more easier to play against the Brazilian team in the quarterfinal and the Croatia team, the second of the last championship, and slowly it reached your head off.
Thomas, this is my colleague Simon Jordan.
Thomas, when you're looking at it from an evaluative point of view, where do you think the attribution of blame will land? Do you think it will land at the coach? Do you think it will land at the players? Do you think it will land at the German FA in terms of their structure, or do you think it will be a combination of all the above? Everything just simply wasn't fit for purpose.
I was at the airport at the Hamad International 1 hour ago. There was a press conference of our president, DFB president Bernd Neuendorf. He spoke for nearly 3 minutes to 50 journalists, and he said there will be an analysis next week. But he said no job guarantee for Hansi Flick and no job guarantee for Oliver Bierhoff. The next European tournament is in 18 months in Germany. And there are big discussions in our press, in our yellow press, in the TV, in radio stations. Is Hansi Flick so good as a coach he was for Bayern Munich for 1 year, win 6 titles in 1 year, and is the time of Oliver Bierhoff ruled out? Those are the questions Football Germany talks about.
It's quite incredible that we carry on with this World Cup into the round of 16 and the Germans are not there. Be honest with me, Thomas, did you think at any time you would be heading home at this stage?
No. In further times, if a German national coach not reached the round of the last four, he was sacked. It was Helmut Schön, 1978. It was Bertie Vogts, 1998. The German said, a tournament is only good if we go through to the last four. And now we are the second time we see the World Cup in the second stage from the TV. Last year, we have a horrible European tournament. We lose in Wembley against your team, England. We have 3 in a row, and is international only second class?
Thomas, just to talk to you, Mr. Keown, former international player, Arsenal player, just talking, do you not feel your expectation of Germany was, you got it wrong? I always felt this was an opportunity for Japan. I mean, let's give them some credit. They've beaten Spain, they've beaten Germany. In the very first game, you lost against Japan. And thereafter, you were always going to be in trouble. And I know you've got Gnabry and you've got Sane and Müller and all these players, but the result against Japan has really put you
in a difficult situation and you weren't really able to recover. And I felt that was always the case. Japan was always, could always cause an upset in this group. Did you not feel that going into the competition?
Yeah, Japan make a great job. They beat Spain and Germany and they go through. And I give all my honors and credits to Japan. But you said the name of all these players from Bayern Munich. They played in the Champions League. Where was Kimmich? Thomas Müller, I said it. His time is gone international. Gnabry, he has 5 or 6 different hairs between the training and the game, but he's not focused on this to play such a tournament. We have discussions. What's with Gündoğan? Gündoğan is captain of Manchester City, one of the best teams in the world. But his role next to Kimmich, it's very difficult. We have no no player for the right side. Kehrer, for me, he is a normal player, but he's not an outstanding player for playing for a squad like the Germans.
It comes back to the manager then. So you've got an array of talent and he just wasn't able to find the right formula for you to be successful.
Yes. And for me, we have no player for the number 9. We have no striker. Now we have one since 8 years, since Klose, the first one, we have Füllkrug. Why he don't play with Füllkrug yesterday? When he come in and Havertz, it was a difficult, a different game. If he started with Havertz yesterday.
Yeah. Thomas, sorry to jump in, but I want to put this to you because this is key. What do you and the German media think today? The second Japan goal, should it have been allowed or disallowed?
In my opinion, on the first view and the second view, I believe the ball was out. But for me, it's not the reason that we go home. For me, it's the tournament. We never in the tournament from the first day we come to Oman and Qatar. We have discussions. The team is not focused. The Germans play a role in the World Cup like it is 12 or 8 years ago. It was very successful, but the times have changed. And the team and the squads of Germany and the delegation have not changed. That's, in my opinion, the problem.
Thomas, I think you're being very fair there with your answer on the second
Thomas,
goal.
Thomas, as you will appreciate, us English will have an element of schadenfreude about the departure from Germany in this tournament. But what were your expectations from a media point of view going? Did you see this coming? Did you see jeopardy in the Japanese game? Did you see that Germany were going to potentially come up short besides the backstory of Germany always being a powerhouse in tournaments?
In my opinion, I was there in the game against Japan. We are 1 hour the better teams. We are in the lead. The penalty of Gündoğan. We have 3 or 4 big chances: Musiala, Gündoğan, Gnabry. But we didn't score. And in other tournaments, I have been at 6 or 7 tournaments. If we had a chance to kill our opponent, we are in front and we have the chance, we go through. That's the mythos of Germany, the big firm and big tournaments. But we get ridiculous goals from Japan. The second one is a big fault of Manuel Neuer. Manuel Neuer is in Germany is a hero, but in all 3 games, he have credits at the goals of the opponent. And I think that Japan was not a better team, but with this game, the problems were on the table. We have a good second half against Spain, but if you see all 3 games, it's not enough to go to the next stage in the World Cup.
So Thomas, with all your experience, and you sound very experienced to me, a final question from us to you. Was Hansi Flick in charge of Germany for the last time last night?
If you ask me yesterday, I would say to you, I would answer no. He gets the home European Championship in the year 2024. But now, after the press conference, it's open. If I have to bet 100 euro or pounds, I would say he will stay, but Bierhoff will go out.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The world's most dangerous download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
On Sunday here at 10 o'clock, it's live in Talk Sport. England will take on Senegal in the round of 16 at the magnificent Al Bayt Stadium, just down the road from where we are here in Talk Sport studio base here in Qatar. It's Jim White, it's Simon Jordan, Arsenal Invincible Martin Keown is with us, and so too our Talk Sport colleague Alex Crook. Mr. Crook, hi to you. I know you're working later in the Portugal match, but yesterday you turned your attention with a whole bunch of media to Senegal, and you caught up with their squad. Describe the scene, because all of a sudden Senegal very much the focus of attention from an English perspective.
It was absolutely packed. So much interest at their training base in this game against England. Of course, it's a World Cup that brings back memories of 2002 when they shocked everybody, beat France in their first game, made it through to the knockout rounds of that competition. I wasn't able to see their training session because I got there slightly too late. You can only watch the first 15 minutes. But I did hear it. And I tell you, it was non-stop laughter from the Senegalese players. So to say they're in relaxed mood ahead of this game would be an understatement. Then we had a bit of a scrum with a couple of the players and a legend from 2002 in the form of the former Liverpool man, El Hadj Diouf. And I asked him basically about their chances of causing an upset against England, and I think he fancies it.
I talk to him every day. You know, Sadio is with us. It's too difficult for him to move from Munich to come here. You know, he have his own recovery thing to do. But I think Sadio is always with us. Every time before the game, he sends us a good message, and he talked a lot to these boys. And I think so. You know, Sadio going to be always with us, and he wants us to win that game for Liverpool fans.
What players in the England team do you fear? Which England players do you think could hurt you?
Definitely no one. No one. We have good players, and they have good players. And after on the pitch, it's 11 v 11, and just like fighting for your own country.
So, I mean, Harry Kane, not for the first time, was the talk of an opposing nation squad yesterday when there was a media gathering. Martin, your old chum at Arsenal, Tony Adams, was talking about Harry Kane. He said he'd love to have played against him. You'll have seen these quotes. Because he says Kane drops so deep and doesn't really end up posing the threat that he should. Has he got a point?
Yes. I think what Tony's referring to, often you're playing against a top striker. When you see him disappear into midfield, it's good news, because he's not really going to affect you. I understand the role he plays for England, and I'd like to see him play further up the pitch. I thought Callum Wilson did that when he came on, actually, in the latter stages of the last game. So it's something that Harry does do. As long as we can attack the space he comes out of and we get people running into those areas, that's fine. But if we don't, then it looks like Harry... I mean, there's quite a lot of balls going into the box the other night, and Harry wasn't really trying to get on the end of them. That was quite surprising. So I understand what Tony Adams is saying, but Harry Kane is still our top striker. Mm. There's no doubt about that. Jim, I don't really concern me. He didn't score a single goal in the Euros in the group stages.
And then he went on and started galloping through and scoring plenty of goals. So he's not scoring in the group stage here, so we shouldn't really worry about that.
Okay.
He will score, don't worry about that.
I mean, Simon, Alex described the scene and the mood in the Senegalese camp, and it's very lighthearted. They're loving being here, and you'd expect that. Senegal, could they be a potential banana skin for England?
Well, the weight of expectation will be on England. So with that comes pressure. And we've seen pressure. We've seen what it does to other teams. We saw a very stilted performance by the Argentinians against the Mexicans because they were under so much pressure. They managed to get an outcome. Look, we are, without any disrespect to the Senegalese, looking past them. We're guilty of looking past them. We're looking at the French. How do we cope with Mbappe? I think it will be a tough physical game. You know, obviously, Archimedes with his wall chart has already probably already planned for the fact that we're playing Senegal and knew that anyway. But I look at it as a game that has jeopardy in it. I expect England to come through. I don't expect it to be easy. And I don't. And when I hear language from the Senegalese about not being afraid, I think that's right. I think, or worried, I think you should be aware. And I think the language, we can disappear into semantics, but top players playing in World Cups will look at it and say, we're aware of Harry Kane, but we're worried about let them worry about what we're going to do. Now, for us, England have an opportunity. I think if they were to come out at this stage, people would be very disappointed and the blowback would be quite significant. I don't expect that to happen. But what we are also seeing in this World Cup is the rise of football around the world.
Yeah.
We're seeing Asian teams come through, Australasian teams come through, African and this is the purpose of a World Cup.
True.
So it's a very good backdrop. Growth.
I think it's also the first time that all five continents have been represented in the last 16.
Right.
And that tells you the idea of bringing the World Cup to Qatar, and we can talk all day about the negatives, but it is to grow the game globally. And when you see five different continents represented, you see the African sides and their fans who've been a real spectacle at this World Cup.
Alex,
you have to see it as a positive.
How do you see England beating Senegal in this? What tactics would you deploy? You've been around now a while, haven't you? You talk a good game. So let's hear, what would you say?
Do I talk a good game?
Well, yeah, that's all you
address
can do.
Address him as Mr. Keown, don't forget.
I can't play. Sorry, Mr. Keown.
None of us can play now, but go on.
I think they've got more quality than Senegal. That's what it will come down to. I think we know what we're going to get from Senegal. They're going to be energetic. They're going to be in England's faces.
Did the Germans not have more quality than Japan?
Not in the second half.
No.
England are a far better team than Germany. I don't see them going out.
Would you change? We'll see a similar pattern
to what we've seen.
It'll be a back four, will it?
I think it will be. There may be a temptation to go with a back three in preparation for France, but I think that's maybe a bit dangerous to see this almost as a warm-up game for France. I think he'll stick with the back four. I think Kyle Walker keeps his place. The big question is, does Saka come back in, having played so well in the first game against Iran, or does Marcus Rashford deserve that spot? I would keep Marcus Rashford for the reasons you've said, actually, about Kane dropping deep into midfield, allowing Rashford and Foden to exploit those spaces. It will be tense in the first half. Wouldn't surprise me if his goal is again at half-time.
I have a different opinion to you, because I feel when you play against Senegal, you don't want to try and out-strength them or outrun them. I think it's about, we need our best footballers on the pitch. And I think we need to out-football them. We need to punish them with our passing. I see Foden coming in on the left. As he did at half-time, he changed with Rashford. I know a lot of talk about Rashford. We're getting carried away a little bit. I think he's an impact player from the bench. And I'd keep Rashford for that role. So I'd play Saka on the right. I'd play Foden on the left. But I think the midfield three probably needs to be kept together. You just said there about playing a three against France. You know, I'm not sure where would, actually. I think a four, wouldn't we be better?
I'm convinced that Gareth will play a three against France.
Wouldn't it be better to have Walker though, up against Mbappe as a right back, and he can really sort of marshal him? If we play him in a three, then there's a bit of uncertainty.
Don't they double up on him there, though? You've got Walker playing on the right side of a back three and a right wing back as well.
I came to this competition thinking that Gareth would play a back three. We're playing a back four right now. I don't see. The only thing I would say is that they've lost Senegal to Holland, and Holland played with a back three and with three in midfield, so and two up top. Gakpo was outstanding on the day. So that
you drop Rashford come Sunday. You bench him.
Well, Jimmy, I don't think he played the other day. Obviously, we were making some changes, weren't we?
Scored twice.
I know he did. I know he did. But we can point to Saka scoring twice, can't we? Because lots of people, we have to pick what the best team is for the day. And I think when you're playing against Senegal, you've got to beat them with your quality. And I think Rashford would be perfect for a Senegalese player, because he thinks, okay, he's strong, he's quick, come on then, try and run me and I'll outstrength you. Whereas with Foden, he's so direct, he goes right at players, he causes issues, and I think he deserves now to be starting on that left-hand side.
I think he'll start on the left. I would play Rashford on the right.
But you both concede it's dangerous to think beyond Senegal.
Very much so, because they fancy it. They're partying yesterday in the press conference. You're talking about, yeah, let England talk themselves up and we're going to go and we're going to hit them hard. But England don't need to be slinging balls into the box. Koulibaly was brilliant in the last game. Let's get it on the deck.
Yeah.
Let's play in and around them. And that's why I want Foden in the team.
Your 100% essential download.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review and subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.